The following talk was given by Father John Harden's May 5th through 9th, 1999 Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life in Chicago.
Remember, we are speaking about prayer. Our focus in this meditation will be on the struggle of prayer. Surely, prayer is a gift of divine grace. We know grace is something we must cooperate with. Grace in itself will not save anyone. Grace is a gift. We must cooperate with the gift of God. Prayer, therefore, is a struggle, especially in two ways. Strange statement. Prayer is, first of all, a struggle with the evil spirit, who wants nothing less than that we should pray. The devil will do anything, and the word is anything, to keep us from praying. Then prayer is a struggle with ourselves. Our natural inclination is not to pray. A statement that is worth memorizing. We pray and we live. Why is that true? Because we live as we pray. The built-in conflict of a believing Christian is inseparable, the conflict of prayer. We need to ask ourselves, what are the main objections to prayer? The Church tells us these objections arise mainly from three sources. From erroneous ideas, from the modern mentality, and from personal experience, from error, modern mentality, and our personal experience. What about these erroneous ideas? There's a widespread, much more widespread than most of us realize, a false claim that prayer is just a simple psychological activity. When we pray, we just turn our thoughts, allegedly. A world which is not real. Others again claim that we look upon prayer as a consecrated effort, concentrated effort to reach, hear it, emptiness of mind. And sadly, for a lot of Christians, prayer is incompatible with all we have to do. How many times I've heard in different language, I've got too much to do, I don't have time to pray. Most human beings do not pray enough. Not a few. I say this with conviction. Never pray. In the modern mentality, four basic errors. Truth is said by many to be attained only by reason and science. Whereas prayer is a mystery surpassing our natural mind. You reason yourself to convictions. You don't pray yourself to those convictions. Again, in so much of the modern world, there is such emphasis on money and material values. I've spoken to people who made fortunes but never prayed. Again, what a statement. There is such widespread preoccupation with, shall I call it, sensuality, bodily comfort, which contradicts the beauty of prayer, which is concerned mainly with the glory of the living and true God. And finally, and widely, shall I say, widespreadly, there is so much activity, such activism, as reduce prayer to a flight from the real world. Then, on the level of personal experience, all of us, in greater or less measure, are tempted to discouragement, to dryness in prayer. We know the saints did, on occasion, experience the heights of prayerful experience, but that is not common. Again, we are tempted to sadness and not giving ourselves wholly to the Lord. We are again tempted to deception. We do not get what we ourselves want. Oh, what a substitute the human mind is for the mind of God. Finally, we are all tempted to dwell on our wounded pride. How many of us see ourselves down deep inside of our being as sinners, and to pray means to ask for the gift of grace, and we all desperately, I mean that word, desperately need the gift of God's grace. It is now 52 years I've been a priest. The souls I've met, the souls I've dealt with, there are so many who I realize how desperately, I mean that word, desperately need the gift of God's grace. Why pray to obtain what I most need in life, God's grace? The Church tells us there's only one remedy: humility, confidence, and, in spite of all the natural reluctance, perseverance in prayer. The Church asks another question. How is humble vigilance of heart necessary for prayer? Humble vigilance of heart. How are distractions? What a cheap word. They reveal our preoccupation with what? With creatures. Our dominating possessions contrasts with Christ's warning to be always on guard. Our guidance in prayer tells us to remain faithful to Jesus Christ, even when we do not and may not experience consolation. He also tells us we need, what a statement, a deep moral conversion. That's why guarding our heart with watchful humility is absolutely necessary when we cultivate the spirit of prayer. Then the Church asks us, what are the principal temptations in prayer? The two principal temptations in prayer are lack of faith and plain laziness. On the side of faith, all of us must constantly be convinced of Christ's warning. Without me, Christ tells us, you can do nothing. Oh, how important that is. We can do nothing on the way to heaven without Christ. On the side of laziness, we must humbly admit, all of us, beginning with the speaker, our laziness and the need to practice self-discipline. May God. What is the single greatest need in our prayers of petition? We ask God for what we need. The church tells us he is childlike, calm within God. This calls for the right answers to two of the most important questions we can ask in life. Why do we think that our petition has not been heard? How is our prayer heard? That is, how to make prayer effective. I repeat, 52 years in the priesthood. I now have dealt with thousands of souls. Why? Why do we think our prayers are not heard? Because we're not prone to ask for what we want. And shall repeat, we are prone to ask for what we want. Our natural spontaneous tendency is not to ask for what God wants. What a statement. You must cultivate the habit of praying with an undivided heart. On the one hand, we are tempted to attach our own selfish wills to our desires. And then, while praying, it is as though we are open to the will of God. Once more, I've dealt with too many souls, being with my own, not to know how many people are not really, really open to the will of God. Now we ask, how is our prayer efficacious? With the church we say, our prayers are sure to be effective when they are grounded, here, on the merits of Jesus Christ. The efficacy of prayer depends on two factors. Our Lord Jesus Christ is praying in us and with us. And He, the living God who became man, is constantly praying for us. The secret is to have the trust and boldness of children who are sure of their Father's love. Prayer, remember, is communication with God, especially with God who became man out of love for us. The secret is to have the trust on the one hand and boldness on the other hand of children who are sure of their Father's love. Oh, what I could not say, how many hours I could speak on praying with childlike simplicity and courage. Before God, we are children. And the more we cultivate a childlike spirit, the more surely our prayers will be heard. Now, an unusual question, and a fairly long answer. We are told to pray without ceasing. And you know, this is the teaching of St. Paul. St. Paul tells us, our person in our love for God, which is, hear it, in the heart of prayer. Personally, love for God. Behind this reveal, shall I call it command, are three truths of our faith. First of all, it is always possible to pray. We are never, never without the grace and the need for grace, which comes from prayer. In the words of St. John Chrysostom, worth quoting Chrysostom, it is possible to offer frequent and fervent prayer, even while walking in public, or strolling alone, or seated in your store. You can pray while you are begging or selling. You are to pray while you're working in the kitchen. Unquote, the great doctor of the church, St. John Chrysostom. Oh, what are we being told? We are to pray always. In Latin, semper. Another injunction. Prayer is a vital necessity. This again is St. John Chrysostom. Says Chrysostom, nothing is more valuable than prayer. That deserves to be memorized. Then another saint, this time St. Alfonso Liguori, who published over 150 volumes, says Alfonso's aspect in the mind of the church, those who pray are certainly saved. The one who does not pray is certainly damned. Unquote. St. Alfonso Liguori, a doctor of the Universal Church. Those who pray are certainly saved. Those who do not pray are certainly damned. In God's name, I beg you, don't forget that statement. Those who pray are certainly saved. Those who do not pray are certainly damned. And in the original Latin of Alphonsus, they damn themselves. One more injunction. Prayer and the Christian life are inseparable. Why are they inseparable? Because both proceed from the same love of Jesus Christ. They proceed from the same renunciation of self. And they proceed from the same filial and loving conformity to the Father's love. If we pray or repeat, we will surely reach heaven. If we do not pray, we will certainly be damned. Now, a short introduction of what we call the prayer of Jesus in his last hour. I am inspired to say everything that Jesus said in his prayer to the Father on Holy Thursday night, that we recite the Our Father. Like the Savior, we are to be concerned for the honor of the Father's name. Like Jesus, we are to have a passionate zeal for the glory of God and the extension of His kingdom. We are like the Redeemer, to want to fulfill the will of the Father, His plan of salvation, and deliverance of the world from evil. This, on the Lord's Prayer, is the heart of the Church's teaching on the most important thing we can do in life. Pray. The Church tells us the Lord's Prayer is exactly that. It was Jesus Himself who gave us this prayer, an answer, remember, to the request of His disciples. Lord, they told Him, teach us to pray. Then Jesus said, when you pray, say, followed by the text of the Lord's Prayer. Over the centuries, the Lord's Prayer has been commented on, explained from the earliest years of the Church's history, have been dealt with at greatest length by the saints. It reads, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So we ask ourselves, how is the Lord's Prayer a summary of the whole Gospel? Because we believe it contains, in the form of petitions, everything that Jesus came to the world to teach the human race. Strange question. Can we say that the Lord's Prayer is the center of the whole of God's revelation? Yes. Because the center of God's revelation is what else? Is Jesus Christ.